In several of Philip Roth's novels, the author has named his writer hero Nathan Zuckerman. The writer hero in Roth's new novel is named simply Philip. But book critic John Leonard says creating a namesake doesn't bring us any closer to understanding Roth.
There's something to be said for hearing Philip Roth speak in tongues, although not much. Deception is a novel about art and adultery, made up entirely out of conversation, a new kind of oral sex. It's all talking heads. The tongues in these heads belong to a Jewish writer named Philip in a studio in London, and Philip's married lover, a Gentile Englishwoman in a tiresome marriage of convenience, and a former student and lover of Philip's, smart but maybe crazy, and two young women from Eastern Europe, one Polish and one Czech, who've also cuddled Philip, and last, Philip's wife, who reads the notebook in which Philip's recorded these conversations and decides that he's jerking her around. He isn't really. He's jerking himself around. That's the problem. On television or in novels, whether talking heads are worth our while depends on whether they've got brains. Instead of brains, deception has accents. They're distinctive accents. Roth has a wonderful mimic ear. The Englishwoman tells Philip, "So our story isn't a love story, really. It's a cultural story. That's the one that interests you. That explains the Gentile women, doesn't it? You fall in love for the anthropology." The Czechoslovakian tells him of becoming a prostitute. "I found that my body was out of the usual. They invited me for modeling. I will tight my big breast under the clothes. I will go take voice and speech lessons just to lose my accent." Philip tells the Pole, "Anyway, I'm kissing your sentences, not you. I'm kissing your English." And when Philip says to his wife that the Englishwoman in his notebook is imaginary, she replies in a reasonable rage, "Explain it to me, if you will, then, how you happen to know all these things about English life that this Englishwoman who doesn't exist tells you in your studio while you are conducting this affair with her in your head." But Philip's wife misses the point, the same way Roth feels that his readers and reviewers miss his point. He stamps his foot. Writers can do anything they want to. Anyway, they can't help themselves. Besides that, Philip isn't Zuckerman, and Roth isn't Philip. The Philip who isn't Roth explains to the Englishwoman who may or may not be imaginary, "I write fiction and I'm told it's autobiography. I write autobiography and I'm told it's fiction. So since I'm so dim and they're so smart, let them decide what it is or it isn't." But of course he won't let us, whoever he is. The unsocialized Roth, who reads his reviewers and flies into a rage, is at it again. The same tune on the same kazoo. A bad boy playing with himself. I'm no longer the least bit interested in what really happened to him and what he only imagined. I just want him to get on with it, writing books full of felt life, in which at least the cancer is real, and lovers in London might talk about Maggie Thatcher or Salman Rushdie instead of the imaginary Phillips' imaginary novels about an imaginary Zuckerman. A world in which the choices human beings make have consequences instead of reviews. A world where, when the wounded bleed, it isn't ink.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine, is a columnist for New York Newsday, and is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed Philip Roth's new novel, Deception.